Hey guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a fabulous week. I know I had a lot of fun yesterday. I took Noah to his Cub Scouts Rain Gutter Regalia boat race at the Maple Fest in Luzerne. It's a awesome tradition that Luzerne holds, Hadley Luzerne, and just a whole bunch of local vendors come around, set up booths. There's a car show, and so we spent the day after his Cub Scouts race just supporting local businesses. We got lots of stuff. We got spices and maple syrup, and we had lunch at the Hadley General Store, supported their business. It just felt great to see so many local people out here trying to sell their products to people, and it was packed for such a small town. I think everybody must have been there. I must have seen like 30 people I knew personally. But supporting local businesses is a huge part of helping out your community, and you should try to do that as much as possible. Big business is always good and convenient, but if you're really looking for a way to help out your community, the best thing you can do is to try to buy local as much as possible. These people take a lot of time, and a lot of their money goes into what they do. And if you see things that you like, grab business cards, tell friends. The best thing you can do is tell your friends about anything, whether it's businesses, about musicians, local musicians, local reporters, stuff like that. Just get their name out there for them. Spread the word. And that's what you can do with my show, too, if you'd like. The best thing is word of mouth. You start talking about it, then other people talk about it. And, you know, word of mouth is getting around. I just got 2 listeners in Belgium. I don't know how that happened. I don't know anyone over there.
That's awesome.
So, also, I got some more states on the list. I think Texas popped up, New Hampshire popped up. I haven't looked today, though. I should have, but I didn't. My computer's dead. But anyway, so last week I didn't get to everything that I wanted to. So as promised, this is a continuation. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, The Hippocrates, then you can go listen to that before you listen to this one, because then this will make more sense. I'm going to pick up where I left off with the great Larry Sharp. If you don't follow him on Facebook, you should, because he does live videos during the week where he takes questions. People call in and he answers questions on the live stream. And it's actually really interesting. And then he'll like follow the comment threads as he's doing it and try to answer questions from there too. He answered quite a few questions about education Thursday, which I think it was Thursday, maybe it was Tuesday, I can't remember. But he was talking about how he wants to get rid of administrators, let teachers teach how they want, stop teaching for the test. He understands that a lot of kids just aren't good test takers, and that's something that I will always, always fight for, that not every kid is good at taking tests. And he talked a lot about farmers, and yes, I think he said he's from the Bronx, so yes, he is a city guy, but he is very adamant about getting up to the North Country, because most of our land is farmland. We have a lot of agriculture up here, and he's not saying that he knows what's best for farmers. He's saying he wants to listen to the farmers, because the farmers know what's best for the farmers. And so he wants to hear your ideas, your thoughts, your struggles. That way he can help try to help the farmers out, which is a great idea. And someone asked him about farmers and small businesses, if he would give some kind of like handouts. And he goes, "You're asking a libertarian to give out handouts," which was funny. And the guy was like, "Okay, yeah, I get that." He goes, "So no, I'm not going to be giving out handouts, but I will be trying to work with taxes, help you pay less taxes, because being a farmer and having a, and also being a startup business or small businesses, they get destroyed in taxes, and it's almost impossible for people in New York to do that and to have their little businesses have farms. And he was saying that he's going to try to work on a deal where if you promise, like if you're a farmer or something, you promise to sell within New York State, he can try to get you around those federal tax laws and stuff. And so you won't have to pay as much because you're staying within the state. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really going to help our economy a lot. And a lot of people are seeming to jump on board with this idea, which is good. And like, you know, any tax break is a good tax break.
Now, I know you have contact with him. I mean, you're helping work on the site. He's got to have a plan to attract voters downstate also.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was talking about this with a friend yesterday, and he said the only way a candidate can win, he could take all the votes in the upstate New York, but he does need to direct something so he can attract voters from, like, you know, Westchester south, because they have so many voters down there that,
yeah, they have a big population, right, down there. It's almost half of the population.
Exactly. So if he can do that and then appeal to the upstate voters, he has a good chance.
I think he'll win over a lot of the city and downstate New Yorkers with his education plans. And he really wants to take away as much tolls as possible, mm-hmm, with the roads. And that's going to definitely get a lot of votes. I mean, his plan with that is to have companies buy the road.
Mm-hmm.
And those companies put money into it. And they get that by attracting more business. And so they just changed the name of the Tappan Zee to like
the Mario Cuomo Bridge.
Yeah, that's dumb.
But I want to tell you something. I was down to a Yankee game last Sunday.
You were, yeah.
Yes. And everybody still calls it the Tappan Zee
Bridge. The
Tappan
Zee Bridge, yeah.
So.
But he's saying like to have a company take over a road, and then that road will be named after the company. Like, say they take over the Tappan Zee Bridge, like Staples does.
Right.
Be the Staples Bridge. And that's advertising.
Oh, sure.
For them.
It's like the ballparks.
Yes. And so then they're a sponsor of that road, and then their money can be put into that, and the tolls can be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a good idea to look into. Sure. And that's going to attract a lot of city voters because those tolls are just terrible because it creates traffic. And some people, like, you know, a toll may not seem like a lot of money when you're traveling, but when you're doing it like 3-4 times a day,
yeah, but when you have to go over a bridge, you go over a bridge and it costs $15 or $16, and like you said, you go over it three times a day. That adds up.
Times 5 to 7 days a week. These people are just getting just one thing after another, punching money out of them. Not to mention that the rent is just so high down there. It's ridiculous. I mean, they do get paid more, but it evens out to,
yeah,
we get paid less up here, right, but the rents are still skyrocketing up here. Looking at apartments, especially in Saratoga. Oh. I don't know why Saratoga is so high, but
I don't either.
You could get a 2-bedroom apartment on Broadway above a noisy bar, and it's like $1,800 a month.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Plus utilities.
There's no room for parking. You have on-street parking, and it's so noisy. You're near the heart of Saratoga, and your apartment's small,
yeah,
and there's no land. You have no land.
Yeah.
The view is terrible. You could people watch, but
yeah, that's about it.
Why would you pay $1,800 for that?
It's a huge problem even in Wilton now. The prices are so high.
They're getting high. They are. They really are. Just people can't afford it,
no,
and like the wages just aren't going up to match it. But anyway, so this Larry Sharp guy has a lot of great ideas. He just created a new event, and he's going to Green Wolf Brewery. I think it's in Manchester.
No, that's in Vermont.
Let me pull it up here. I actually have it saved because I plan to go. I think it's June 9th. He's going to be at a brewery, and I love craft beer.
What's the name of the brewery?
Let's see. Green. I think it's Green Wolf. Almost got it. Here it is. Green Wolf Brewing Company, Middleburg.
Oh, Middleburg. Okay.
Saturday, June 9th at 4:30 to 6:30. Meet Larry Sharp. He's going to be there meeting people, answering questions, drinking beer. It's going to be a good time supporting a local business there. Breweries are a huge thing right now. People are getting into craft beer more. And I highly suggest it. If you need some beer recommendations, ask me.
And they have a website, so yeah, you can go there and pull down their events page, and mm-hmm, that'll be on there.
He's really trying to get out here and meet people and do regular candidate campaigning, but as well as he's really hammering down the social media campaigning too with these live stream videos, and he's really trying to make it personal, trying to get a connection with people. And he's pulling voters out in New York that haven't voted in 10 years, which is a huge, huge thing to do. I mean, I don't know if he's going to win New York because we're such a, our state is so blue. It's deep blue. It's almost purple. That's how blue it is.
That's how blue it is.
So anyway, it's going to be really, really hard for him to get this to be some other kind of party. But I mean, even if he tries, he gets the word out there, people are going to start thinking differently. At least we're going to get a different viewpoint out here. And that's definitely good. And I mean, if New York ends up becoming libertarian, held with a libertarian governor, that's going to say a lot to mm-hmm, the rest of the country, because we're 50th on the freedom scale. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
And I think California's like next. California is actually a little bit more free than us, surprisingly. So they're a little bit higher than 49. I think they're like 42 or something. Don't quote me on that one though. But no. I know New York is 50. Which is crazy. But he's saying that he's not trying to take in and put in do things that haven't been done before. What he's doing is looking at what other states have already done. He's been looking at Wyoming, he's been looking at Texas and all these other states that are coming up with more libertarian ideas mm-hmm, that are already in place and working. And he wants to copy that and instill it in New York and then amend and change it as we need. Mm-hmm. But he said he's not going to take anything and put that in place that hasn't already been done and been proven to work yet, which I think is a great idea.
Very smart.
Like, if another state is already doing it and it's working for them, we might as well give it a try.
That's right. And like you said, maybe have to adapt a little bit down the road, but yeah, at least you have it in place where, because we need to radically change the way we do business here.
Definitely.
I mean, people are flocking up, businesses are flocking out, people are
flocking
out.
We've had so many people leave New York, so mm-hmm, we're just losing people, and that's only going to make our economic problem worse.
Yeah. The two states that people are leaving the fastest are California and New York.
Mm-hmm.
And New York's number one, I think California's number two. See, the middle part of the country is getting more populated.
I know a lot of people are going to New Hampshire. New Hampshire is very, very libertarian, and they have this thing called the Free State Project, where if you're a libertarian, you can get help trying to find property there to move to. They're trying to get a whole bunch of liberty-minded people into New Hampshire to try to change their government, because then once they can change their government on a state level, they have some kind of influence at the federal level, which is a great idea, I think. I mean, I'm not all for having the same-minded people in one area, because then you just don't have diversity. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you're all individuals. You all have your own kind of way of thinking, and that's how libertarians feel. But if you all have the same goal of liberty, free markets, the non-aggression principle, I mean, what a better group of people. Really, I think most people are libertarians and they just don't know it, because the libertarian principles are all based on just moral concepts.
Right.
Of just being genuinely good people. And so you don't have to believe all of the little nitty-gritty political parts of it, but at its core, I think most people are libertarian and liberty-minded.
Yeah, I mean, when you see that the fastest growing block of voters are independents,
yeah,
that's the fastest growing a block of voters now. They're leaving Democratic Party, they're leaving the Republican Party, and they're
Everybody's
becoming independent.
Of it.
And I mean, you got to start thinking outside the box a little bit, because
yeah,
you know, it's not right.
Definitely. I mean, the Republican Party is just filled with neocons, and the Democratic Party is just filled with socialists, mm-hmm. and nobody wants any part of either of those. And well, I shouldn't say that, because I see a lot of socialist people out here.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually kind of scary.
That's right.
It's very scary. There's reasons why socialism doesn't work, and we have proof of it around the world. So something I wanted to bring up that a listener of mine brought to my attention. He listened to my last episode, and he tends to give me a lot of great feedback, and I'm very thankful for that. His name is Michael, and he is really into the show and likes what I'm doing. He said, "Hey, I just listened to episode 5. All the points you made are on point, but you used the word hate referencing Governor Cuomo. Please don't use that word, because remember, everybody is a libertarian and they just don't realize it yet." Hmm. And they're very harsh words, and hate shouldn't be used, especially if you're trying to win people over. And you know what? I really thank you for that feedback. And I probably didn't even realize I had said it. I just,
right.
I don't like Cuomo so much that it just came out. And I really do feel that way too. Hate is a strong word, and
it
I don't hate him.
But you could,
strongly dislike him.
Strongly dislike him. I agree. Hate probably shouldn't even be in our,
yes.
in our dictionary, but dislike strongly is a word to use.
Yes. And I'm not a fan of the whole PC culture, the politically correctness culture, because I believe it's a form of like brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to express ourselves with whatever word we feel like saying. And being politically correct is basically just brainwashing people into saying you can't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right to think that way. No, every individual can think how they feel.
Sure.
But I do agree that using the word hate is not a way to win people over, and I really do appreciate your feedback, and I will definitely try to not use that word. I also myself, I don't like to hate things. I don't hate things. I'm a very positive person. So thank you for that feedback. And moving back to Larry Sharp, I didn't get to finish what I was saying about him last week. And so I'm going to try to pick up where I was with him. So he does have a good idea for education reform. Like I said, he wants to get rid of administrators and let teachers teach how they feel fit, like what they went to school for. When you go to school for teaching, you have a specific like area that you learn. Some people decide to do Shakespeare. That's what I did. And some people are like Middle Ages, Renaissance would be Shakespeare. Some people look at American literature, European literature. Some people look at African literature, women's literature, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I really think, like, you go to school, you learn all of those different areas, learn the basics of English, but just in certain areas. And so they should be able to teach with that, as long as they're getting the basic line across. As long as they're teaching you English, it shouldn't matter what they're teaching you.
Right.
And they shouldn't be testing you. I feel like you should be tested on, like, later on in life, when you decide to what you want to do, you should be tested on that subject matter. Like, have you learned enough to go into this field? You take a test to go into that field or whatever. But going through school, just testing and testing, these teachers really just get ready for a test. Mm-hmm. And then you have to hire more administrators to grade these tests. And then you pull teachers out of classrooms for a week to grade their Regents exams and have a substitute teacher in. That's more money, a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And you have no room for learning there, that you have a strict course line that you have to follow. And I don't think that's right. It doesn't leave room for expansion and like communication between, you have to go from one topic to the next. You really don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Right. Well, that.
No room for, there's no elasticity. You can't expand a topic.
Right, and some children get held back because they go so fast because they have to get so much
one thing
work
to the next
done to have these tests.
Mm-hmm.
That if a child needs maybe another half a day, I mean, they have to hire a tutor, and you know about that.
Yeah, I tutor a kid because he can't
right.
follow what they're doing.
Right, so I mean, it's difficult today because teachers. You'll hear this all the time if you talk to a teacher. They can't teach the way they would love to teach because they love teaching. That's why they got in a profession. And they
yes.
can't teach.
And they love the topic they learned.
Right, because of all the extra things the state puts on the requirements or mandates of testing all the time. And they have to get ready for the testing. And it takes time out of classroom teaching. And when you look at a statistic like 54% of high school graduates when they go to college need remediation for reading and math, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you should go to college and kind of know how to read and the basics of math. And they don't, because they're not being taught in school.
No, they're not. And something else that's an issue with the education system is that so many people are being pushed into college. Some people don't need to go to college. We need tradespeople. There's a healthy balance. Some people are meant to go to college. Some people are meant to go into the armed forces. Some people are meant to go to trade school. Some people are meant to go straight to work. It's really up to the individual, and schools are just pushing colleges. And the only reason why they're doing that is because the more people they push into college, the more funding they get and the more grants they get from the government. Also, the more student loans the government gives to these students going to college from taxpayers that the taxpayers fund to these kids that aren't even supposed to be in school. And so then that creates a higher student debt to the government.
Mm-hmm.
These loans are coming from the government. It creates a higher student debt. It's a more of a dependency. It makes more people dependent on the government, and more people owe the government. And so you're basically a slave to the state because these schools are just pushing college. I know college was highly pushed on my graduating class, and I didn't realize it till 2 years in. I think it was 80% of my graduating class were going to college, and 15% were going into the armed forces, and the rest were going straight to the workforce because they went to trade school during high school. Everybody had a plan. 80% of them were going to college. 80% of us were not meant to go to college. It's crazy. And I've seen so many people just not finish, and that's okay to go and not finish. You were pushed, you felt like you had to go, and it's okay if you realize that maybe that wasn't meant for you, but it would have been, it saved you a lot of time and a lot of money if they didn't push you to go. And so an issue is so many people go to college and they end up graduating, they become unemployed, and that's because we have too many people going to college. And just a college degree doesn't mean anything anymore. You need a master's or doctorate to have it mean something now. A bachelor's degree is another check on a box. That it's so hard to get a job even with a bachelor's degree.
Even a master's
People would
degree.
Rather you have experience. like go through an apprenticeship or something than to have a, an expensive piece of paper hanging on your wall. It's ridiculous the amount of money you put in to just have a piece of paper to prove it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Both these programs are so good.
They're great.
When you're in high school, you go to school half a day and you go to trade school, and they offer so many programs.
They do.
I mean, so many programs. And when you come out, a lot of times you have a license. I mean, and you may have to apprentice depending on what the trade is, or you could go, you've got 2 years and then go to nursing school and only go for 2 more years. Cosmetology, there's nursing, there's electrician.
It's really great.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, we need more of
more
these
trades people. Because you got these people coming out of college, the only thing that a degree proves is that you made it to class, at 8 a.m. class, mm-hmm. and that you passed the test, and that you know how to read. Woohoo. That doesn't tell me that you know how to turn the screw in the wall or how to fix the lights when they turn off. That doesn't mean anything. It just means you knew how to go to class, mm-hmm. and you knew how to pass. And it's just so Larry Sharp has a idea for this. He says that colleges are not adequately preparing graduates with the skills they need to enter the workforce, which is right. They're only preparing them on how to show up and read and do their homework, which half the time they don't anyway. So he believes that the solution to education will come from the free market. Educational institutions should look to employers to find out what skills are valuable in the workforce and then build their curricula around those. This will provide a truly useful education that helps graduates find employment. When the government steps in and dictates what the curricula should be, becomes a middleman that does nothing but drive up the costs. We need to get the government out of higher education so schools and employers can partner to create an innovative educational solution. I think that's an amazing idea. Mm-hmm. The government should have no foot in higher education. They already have their foot all in the public schooling from K to 12. Stepping into college was a terrible mistake. You're not doing a good job for K through 12 as it is. What tells you you're going to do a good job for university?
And what's the most political leaning of universities?
Democratic.
The left.
Yes.
That's right. And it's very hard for someone with a conservative values or moral values to get through, because you're being pushed on a leftist education, you know, and that's tough.
Russell Sage is very left-leaning, extremely left-leaning, and it was crazy sitting there. I used to take public policy classes for my poli-sci minor, and we had to come up with a public policy legislation, and people were like, we need more help with funding single parents and daycare, and that the government needs to pay for it. And their part of the public policy part of it was to suggest how you were going to get that funding. They're like, raise the taxes. And they're all for it. And I'm like, how do you think that's a good idea? That takes the money out of somebody else's pocket, away from their family, to pay for your family. No, what you need to do is go, if you want to have more funding for these things, you need to go to charities. You need to go to churches, nonprofit organizations. People are charitable. You can find funding other ways. The government is not entitled to hand out that money. You really just need to find the help somewhere else. And you know what? You're going to go to the government and most likely they're going to be like, yeah, let's raise the taxes. Good idea. But they don't care about taking our money. If you suggest that the solution is to take money from other people to hand to other people, they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to do it. That's what they do all the time, no matter what agenda it is. Funding the wars. Yeah, we'll just take it from everybody. And then you get people that come in and they're like, okay, we're going to do tax breaks. So they do tax breaks, but then they increase spending in other areas. And it's just, it's crazy. Like, the Democrats are like, no, we need it for these social programs. And then the Republicans are like, no, we can't fund those, but we need to fund these wars. Mm-hmm. And so the spending never gets cut, no matter who you have there. And so, like you were saying, the Independence Party is just growing because people are fed up with this, the hypocrisy all around. And so something about the Independence Party is I actually registered to vote as an independent when I was 18. Little did I know about New York's voting laws that in the primaries,
you can't vote.
You can only vote if your party's represented. So if you're registered as independents, you can't vote. No one's running as an independence party.
No.
And so then you have all these people that registered that way because they didn't want to register Democratic or Republic. And you have all these people that can't vote.
Hopefully that may change, though.
It's they're trying to change that.
Yeah. There's a... not an underground thing, but there are states that you can vote. If you're a registered independent, you can vote in a primary. Only one time, though. You can't vote for a Republican and a Democrat or whatever, but they are able to do that. And New York being so backwards and trying not to give people options... But there is movement.
It keeps people out of that. And primaries are where it matters.
Oh, sure.
Because primaries determine who's going to the final elections. And so that's where you have all these options is in the primaries. Because then when you get down to the final, you got two, maybe three people to choose from. But during the primaries, you got a whole bunch of people to choose from. And so that's where we need to really, really get people out. They think that primaries don't matter, and they really do. They're more important than the election.
Because at the election, you have the people that the primaries, people that voted in the primaries picked. And you're right. I mean, you want to have a say in the primaries and without having to register for a party.
Because yeah.
That way you can only do a primary in that party.
Everybody should be able to vote no matter who they're registered under.
Right.
It shouldn't be as if your party's represented, so you have no say because no one wanted to run in your party. It just doesn't make sense. It's a way to get more numbers into the two main parties. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that it's right at all. And I was very angry when I found out I couldn't vote for my first primary. I had to wait till the election. I'm like, well, why? But I'm now a registered libertarian, okay. Which means if a libertarian's represented in New York primaries that I can vote, which is a higher chance than Independence Party being out there.
Yeah.
But still, if no one's representing them, I can't vote, which sucks. But I'm not putting my name under Republican. I'm not putting my name under Democrat.
Now, see, you could run for as an independent, right? Because there is an independence party,
mm-hmm.
But they're their own beast. I mean, they hardly ever do anything except endorse candidates. But as an independent, that you're not affiliated with any party, but you can run as an independent if you get so many Democratic signatures and so many Republican signatures, and it's not very many, like in the city, then you can run as an independent against the Democrat and Republican. So that it's good that way, but it's, you know, still.
It's hard. It's so hard.
It's hard.
It's just people should be able to vote. Come vote. Vote. So going back to Larry Sharp, he wants to bridge the gap between the left and the right in voting for our real values. Kind of ties into that. No matter what side of the political aisle you sit on, we all have common goals to live a fulfilling life and to help others do the same. As a politically engaged citizen, you have likely tried to align yourself with the party that best represents your values. Both of these main parties have been abandoning their principles, leaving voters feeling frustrated and trapped into simply voting for their tribe, or at least voting against the other party. The Libertarian Party is different. Our values have remained consistent throughout history, which is something libertarians try to pride themselves on, is consistency. We have a core of principles, not aggression, free markets, freedom, constitutional rights. And we really try to apply that to every single aspect. When we look at a law, okay, well, does it harm the free market? Okay, well, does it take rights and liberties away from people? Does it violate the non-aggression principle? We try to look at all these cores with every single piece of legislation. So we stand for marriage equality, property rights, minimal taxation, and reduced regulations and barriers for small businesses. We value personal freedom and personal responsibility. The old parties do not represent your values anymore. This election, you have the opportunity to vote for your principles instead of just your party. And this is about New York. So if you're not a New York listener, I still suggest you look into Larry Sharp and try to spread the word, or support him. I'm definitely going to support him, like monetarily wise. I feel like donating to his campaign is something. Libertarians believe in voting with your dollar. If you really believe in something, you donate to it. That's where we think people are charitable. We think we're really charitable, which is why we shouldn't have these government programs and have such high taxes demanding where our money goes. Because if we're able to choose where our money goes, we can have it, like, say you're a strong advocate for healthcare. Okay, so if you get to choose where your tax money goes, you're going to probably choose your money to go to all the healthcare. Whereas you may not believe in food supplementing, like the food stamps. Maybe you don't believe in that, but you really want to help out healthcare. So if you had the choice, you'd be able to put your money over there and not where you don't believe it should go. You vote with your dollar. Something Larry Sharp wants to do with New York state taxes is when you file your taxes, because we still have to pay them, you can't just completely abolish it, because then our economy is going to be so messed up. You have to kind of wean yourself off of these things. But he wants to make your taxes more, like, give you more options, not say this is what you owe me and it goes to whatever we decide. He wants you to decide how to split your taxes up, what area you want them to go to. And I think that's a great idea, because then you feel more in control. Like, if you have to pay these taxes anyway, at least you know it's going to certain charities, certain organizations and people that you believe in. And I think that's honestly a great way to start. It's more of a step towards freedom. We can't, I know the libertarians have like this utopia view of a libertarian society. We're not going to get there, but every step closer, it is a victory. And so we were talking about agriculture earlier, and Larry Sharp says almost a quarter of New York state farmland, or almost a quarter of New York state is farmland. We have 36,000 farms. It makes New York a national leader in the production of dairy products, apples, grapes, and other fruits and vegetables. This crucial segment of the state's economy is suffering from a heavy tax burden. 2012, farmers paid 17% of their income to the state. Our farms and farmers need tax reform. So that's what I was saying earlier about how he wants to, if you decide you want to be in agriculture, you get to, if you promise to sell within New York, he can try to get you out of certain tax regulations federally, because you're only working locally. So how is the federal government going to tax you if you're only staying in your state? That you're not going federal, you're not going nationwide, nationally. Let's see. Oh, so eminent domain. I've been seeing that pop up lately. So Larry believes that no one, not even the government, should be able to take your home, farm, or property without your consent, which is right. You own it. Mm-hmm. You own it. They cannot come in and be like, we need this. And so he says, eminent domain is an unjust practice that undermines the property rights of New Yorkers. As governor, Larry will oppose the use of eminent domain and work towards his goal of minimal taxation. I've seen a lot of instances where people are eminent domain is demanded for like hospitals and state land, state park land. We need this land. It's going to be part of a state park. Okay, well, I own it. You can't just take that from me. I bought it with my money. And the government will just take it. And if you try to fight them, you're going to lose. Why? Because it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money. And guess what? They have all the money they want from the taxpayers to use for lawyers.
That's right. And the compensation they usually give the person is
a payout.
Next to nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a payout.
You don't get to keep your, you're not going to win. You can't win against the government. It's just not possible. You can't do that. And let's see. So Larry says, as Americans, we expect our government to be of the people, by the people. But in reality, most government decisions are made behind closed doors without any accountability to the citizens. Crony capitalism ensures that insiders become wealthy on the backs of New York taxpayers, and government waste goes unchecked. It's time to end the era of government secrecy and let New Yorkers see how the state is spending their money. Larry believes that transparency and accountability in government will reduce waste and curb corruption. Transparency is a huge, huge deal. Larry Sharp is trying to pound every single Facebook Live video he's been in. I must hear that word like 20 times. He wants people to know what the government's doing. He doesn't want to leave you left out. He believes that every person has the right to know what their elected officials are doing in office with the law, because it affects every single one of us. And so it's not right to leave us in the dark, to not know what's going on, because we have a say in what goes on. We elect these people to represent us. And it's not right if we can't see how they're representing us.
Has he ever mentioned anything about term limits at all yet?
Term limits, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't really looked into too much about how he feels about term limits yet, but I know he does want to place term limits.
Good.
Because it turns into like monarchy almost if you don't have term limits. Because then you just have this person there that keeps getting voted by the same base over and over again. It stays in the same family. And that's what we see with Cuomo.
Yeah. And when they leave, like the senators and congressmen, if they build up a war chest of tens of millions of dollars when they do leave office, they get to take all that with them.
Yeah.
And that should be illegal.
Definitely.
It's not their money.
It's not their money. The government has $0.
Right.
The government literally has no money.
Well, they were
all their money comes from us.
They were all, that money was donated for a re-election campaign or whatever. They didn't use all of it, so they put it in their campaign funding. And the next time they run, they have fundraisers, and they get to keep all that money, and it should go back to the people that donated to them.
It should go back. It shouldn't stay with them. All right, so. Larry Sharp, good guy. Check him out. He's got a lot of great ideas.
Definitely.
Definitely. So, something. Oh, yeah. Wait. Back to Larry Sharp. He hates, or not hate. I can't say hate. I apologize. He does not like the DMV because he was talking about government-run monopolies. Mm-hmm. And so, this is where the free market comes in. The DMV is terrible. You can't go there and be out in a reasonable amount of time. It's always a headache, and they do not provide the best service. And why is that? It's because they don't have to. They're the only people providing this service. And so if you bring the free market into it, you could have other agencies doing this. They have to follow the same guidelines, but you get to pick how you have your motor vehicle services provided to you. Why can't like your insurance company be able to do this for you. And then you get to decide who provides the best service. And things are going to go quicker. They're going to be better. You're going to get better service because they need to keep their customers. And so we have this DMV, this monster, and it's completely terrible. I can't tell you how many times I've just sat there for hours. It just wastes your time, wastes your money. And like in big areas, like in California, you get there at 8, you're not even sure you're going to be seen.
Right.
And that's a whole day that you probably lost of work.
Yep.
That you have to take the time out to go do this. And some people can't afford that.
Well, it's almost like here, like passports. You know, you can go to the county and get a passport, or you can get a passport at the post office. And at the post office, you can make an appointment. And so it may be quicker to get it there than it is to get it from the county at the county building.
Yeah.
So there are more offers. There's more places that you can get that. And it probably should be the same way for DMV.
Exactly. I mean, if there's more places to go, it's going to take less time at each place. And like I said, you're going to get better service because the people want to keep you coming back. And I was actually just having a conversation last night regarding gambling and the state lotteries and how it's absolutely ridiculous that we are told that you can be thrown in a cage for setting up a poker game where people voluntarily say they're going to have money. They're going to bet money and stuff. I don't personally like to gamble. I don't think it's a good thing. It can be addicting and stuff, but who are you to say people can't do anything with their money? It's their money, and it's their problem if they end up spending it all.
Sure.
And so we have the state telling us that it's illegal to gamble, but they host
gambling.
So shouldn't that be illegal?
Legal gambling.
So what's really happening is they're controlling the market on lottery systems. And people, I think the addiction problem with like scratch-offs and Powerball and stuff like that has to do with how big the gambling system has become with the state, because you only have this one entity controlling gambling. So they have this outrageous jackpot that people are just so convinced that they're going to get to, that they're going to win it. But you know, if it was legal and other companies could have like, say, so much of X amount of their profit, they decide, oh, well, we'll just make a lottery of it. Maybe someone will win. Mm-hmm. Well, the jackpots are going to be smaller because not just one person people are going to be buying into all these other different lotteries. So jackpots will be smaller. They won't be addicted to this idea of this outrageous amount of money because they're going to be smaller jackpots. And, It doesn't make sense that the government's telling you that you can be thrown in a cage for gambling, but if we provide gambling, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's absolutely hypocritical. And I just think if you had a free market solution where companies can have their own lotteries, it's better for people. It's going to be less addicting because it's going to be smaller jackpots.
You're right.
And Star Wars.
Darth Vader's coming in 25 minutes to do his show. No, just kidding.
That's a great ringtone. I approve that ringtone.
Oh, dear.
All right, so let's move on to more hypocritical issues. So this Zuckerberg Facebook trial, I don't even know what to say. I just don't even know what to say. Okay, so first of all, when you create a Facebook profile, you sign the terms and conditions. I agree to these terms and conditions that nobody ever reads. But if you do read it, you're consenting the use of any information you put on Facebook. In the first line of the terms and conditions says, I acknowledge that I have control over my information and at any time can choose not to share it. There are privacy settings, if you didn't know, and there are very strict privacy settings when you get into the nitty gritty parts of it in your account settings. you can make it like almost impossible for people to access your page. You can make it so your name isn't searchable on Facebook. You can make it so only you can send friend requests. No one can request you, and everything to be super, super private. And so anyway, the whole problem that this came about from is that there was like this quiz game or whatever that you could do on Facebook. And when you take a quiz or go through a game app connected to Facebook, you check a box that says you may use my personal information from my profile, and it tells you exactly what information they're pulling. They're pulling your location, they're pulling your friends list, they're pulling stuff that you post and pictures and stuff like that. You consent to that to use that quiz. And I'm sorry, but these third parties, you gave them permission to use your Facebook information.
Right.
So what happened was people were doing this quiz, and which I think is a waste of time. Sometimes they're fun. They can be fun. But they're really just a waste of time. And you consented for them to use your information. These people did this quiz, and then their information went to Cambridge Analytica and this whole political thing with the campaign and whatever. But you let them. First of all, you're on Facebook. If you don't want your information out there, get off Facebook.
Right.
Delete your profile. You don't have to have it. Go meet your friends in the coffee shop.
Really?
And so people are like, oh, but we need it to stay in contact with family. And okay, so then use Facebook and just have really strict privacy settings. And okay, well, I don't want my privacy settings. Well, that's your problem. Right. You're letting your information be out there. You can't be mad at Facebook. They are a business. Exactly. They're making money off of you. It's a free service and they're making money off of you. They figured it out. They figured out how to do it. They're smart. You cannot be mad at them for being so smart. So anyway, the government got into this, and Zuckerberg was at what, the Senate? In front of the Senate?
Congressional hearing.
Yeah. It's absolutely outrageous. So you got these people of the Congress saying it's not right to spy on the American people and use their data. Okay, well, the American people consented for Facebook to do that, A, and B, the government's doing the same thing with the Patriot Act.
Without consent.
Illegally spying on people. They have a sneak and peek act. Where is it? Sneak and peek warrants. They are called delayed notification warrants, where they don't even have to have any kind of reason to look at your stuff. Basically, they can just like look through all your information, your text messages, your internet records, stuff like that, with no reason, just to see if maybe there's something.
Or even your income tax returns.
Exactly.
Everything.
And then once they have that information once, they have it forever. It doesn't go away. And it's absolutely wrong, because most of these, nothing has come out of looking into people. And it's like, oh, maybe something's going on. They don't even know. They're just like looking through your blind. Maybe something's happening. Oh, nothing here. Okay, well, we'll just save this for later. And so they have all this information, and they can sell it to people too and make money off of that. And that's scary. We're not even consenting to it.
That's right.
It's like Big Brother type of stuff. I highly suggest reading 1984 by George Orwell. It's an amazing book. It's a little dry in the beginning. I had to like force myself through the beginning, but I'm glad I made it through that book. It was incredible, and he called everything. Called it. We are basically in an Orwellian society. It's crazy to think about. Have you read it?
No.
It's a really good book. He wrote it, I want to say, in the 50s. I'm not really sure, but let me look it up real quick for you. But there's thought police, and like the government watches you. Big Brother is their government, and they have signs all over their society that says Big Brother is watching. And it's scary. It's really, really scary, but we kind of are in that right now. And like, so what happens is you have these like these telescreens in your houses that can see you from all sorts of angles. Like, there's no way to hide from it. They can see what you're doing. They see you through it. And if you start doing something wrong, they pop up on your screen. And it's scary. And then there's thought police that can read your thoughts as you're thinking. So let's see. 1984, the book was written in, hang on, loading here. So this book was published in 1949. This guy knew what was going to be happening. He said 1984. He wasn't too far off, but it's happening now. And like the facial recognition stuff where I don't remember what country it was, but this guy owed a whole bunch of money to the government. And then he went to like a game because he thought, like a stadium game, he thought he was going to be safe. And facial recognition cameras pointed him out of the crowd and he was arrested. There's like 50,000 people there. And that's insane. But so, yeah, I highly suggest reading 1984. But anyway, these sneak peek warrants are absolutely ridiculous. They're illegal. They infringe on the rights of citizens. And so the government is mad at Facebook and people are mad at Facebook. Why aren't people outraged with our government for spying on us? You don't see that happening. We're not taking them to trial over this. It gets me so worked up. Sorry. So anyway, I think I'm running down a little bit on time here with you all, but I did get through my material, and so I do have something to share with you. Recently, I've been learning about crystals and minerals and just properties, like healing properties, emotional properties, physical properties, spiritual properties, all sorts of good things with these crystals and minerals. I have a project that I'm working on with them, but I recently had some bad family news, and so I'm going to be trying to find some crystals that have some emotional soothing properties to help me get through it all. And I had some amethyst that I got in Massachusetts last weekend, and I put them under my pillow the other night, and they actually did help me sleep a little bit softer, like more comfortably. But anyway, there's a lot of great things that these crystals do. They open up chakras and heal them and empower them, and they help aid in expression, communication, release of emotional pain, channeling your inner spirit, giving you positivity. Some other cool things that I found is that they help you tap into a past life that you may have had if you believe in reincarnation. I do. I definitely believe it. You know, you have deja vu sometimes. You just can't explain it. And I think that has to do with having past lives. Like, I've been here before, but you've never been there. So some of these crystals and minerals tap into your past lives. And maybe you're a super anxious person, but you don't know why, because you've never gone through any events that would have made you an anxious person. Maybe you did in a past life. And so this kind of brings light to that and tries to help you. Some of them try to help you remember your past life and try to figure out why you are the way you are in this life, that it may be a result of something that happened in your past life. And I think that's really interesting. So I want to start working with these crystals and seeing if they really, really do that. I know that it's said that their fields around them react with your field around you, your energy field, and that's how they promote these things. You can also make elixirs and stuff with them, the ones that aren't toxic. And so, yeah, this is my latest experiment, and I hope to bring a lot of positivity to my life through it and maybe to other people's lives. And it's going to be a really cool journey. Actually, after I head out of here, I'm going to Tushita Heaven in Saratoga to pick up a whole bunch of stuff.
That's neat. I think they have a craft fair next week at the Washington County Fairgrounds. I think it's next week, and they usually have a lot of crystals people selling crystals at places like that too.
That's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
It is. I'm excited to learn all about it, really.
Yeah.
And so that's all I got for you guys, and I'll keep you updated on these crystals. Remember, find me on my Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. SaratogaBroadcasting.com has me up there, and please just send me feedback, send me questions, whatever you want. Hope you all have a great next week.